Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Today I want to try and do I want to finish the rest of the five. And what I want to do is to look at it in a summary way. Because I will be sitting on the fruit of our hands. Praise God. For the rest of the teaching on becoming fruitful, I'm going to be focusing more, not only, but more on the fruit of our hands. Praise God. So I want to do a summary of the five. Then I'm going to come back to principles of fruitfulness, general fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Are we getting that? Yes. All right. So this evening, the next one, which is the third point, is the fruit of the womb. Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. Now, okay, before we go to Psalm 127, verse 3, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis 1, 28. Hallelujah. Amen. So, when the Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. Hallelujah. The one of the primary interpretation of that verse, is that okay? Is tied to biological fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? That is that when God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, is that okay? It is tied to being fruitful biologically. Are you understanding that? That means that it is the will of God for you to have children. Look at your neighbor, say, have children. That is, if you are called to have children. Not everybody is called to have children. I hope you know that. Do I have to preach that in this church? Do I have to say that some are called to be eunuchs? Do I have to preach that? It's just that I haven't seen one that has met me yet in this church. That means that if you have 1,000 people, you will not find one eunuch. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Ebele, you are raising your hand. I saw your hand. Pastor Oche, come and help me. Come and help me. The Bible says all liars shall have their part. Ah, come and help me. Help me ask him as how now. You are a spiritual. Don't be saying this to defend yourself. That will get you into more trouble. Pastor Ebe, which side of this hall are you looking when you answer that question? Is it this side or that side of the hall? Hey, Pastor Ebe, you're a man of God. Behave yourself. Be like a man of God. There are many people that I can say can claim that grace, but you are not the one. You don't operate in that grace. You don't operate in that grace. When did Pastor Ebe get married? Which year did he get married? 2020. That's just 5, 6 years. He is a fruitful vine. Let's not talk about the rest. Let's just leave it like that. He's a fruitful vine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says be fruitful, praise God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, be fruitful. Put it this way, say, be fruitful, oh. Yes. I like the way that Deborah is talking. I like, yeah, thank you for helping me. Because what people have not listened to me about, they may listen to you and John. Especially John, because John carries that anointing in overflowing manner. In fact, all you have to do is to touch John on your way out of service today. Just, you are touching him, Dickness Root. All right. So you are a conduit pipe through which people can, you, hallelujah. Please, all of you that are here, help me to minister to this lady, you know. Just minister to her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me say something about being fruitful. That don't take Western culture to be scripture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is a culture of the West that says, you just have one child. It's not Bible, though. Let me talk to you. I think you need to hear me. Why are you dodging me? As I'm just coming like she's doing like this. Like, pastor, don't. You know, there was a sister in church one time. I said, if you were trusting God for the fruit of the womb, come out of you, are standing in for somebody. She now stood, came out and stood for somebody. I can't remember what the person is in church. The person came to stand for somebody. By the time of life next year, it was her that we were dedicating. It was her we were dedicating. So I'm trying to talk to this person. She's doing like this. Like, pastor, don't temper with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God has blessed you, you have children according to how God has blessed you. Did you hear what I said? How did I say? Have children how? According to how God has what? Blessed you. Not according to how white man is living his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because, you see, that is the wisdom that those guys have that we don't have. The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Is that the verse we're reading, 127? Give me 127. Pastor Che, listen to what the Bible is saying. Give me 127. No, is it 127 we're reading? Verse 3, please. Verse 3. Pastor Che, listen to what I'm saying. Even though I think you have been listening, let me find somebody that has not been listening. Somebody that has not been listening to. Everybody here has been listening. Why is that the people close to me there? How can I be looking for people who should be listening? This one that just came has been listening. You have been listening. Pastor Oche is a listener. You, Mao, we're not talking about you. Let me stand somewhere around here. I think there are some people that need to hear what I'm saying. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Next verse. My area of concentration. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I wish I could come back and explain this. This is where I want. Happy is the man. Read it with me now. Why are you not reading it with me? Happy is the woman that has her quiver. How many of you know what a quiver is? How many of you know what a quiver is? You know that thing they put arrow inside that they sling at the back? That's what a quiver is. So the Bible says, happy is the man that has his what? Quiver. How? Full of them. Since you are laughing, let me come. Happy is the woman that has her quiver. Do like this, Johan. That has her. Happy. Praise God. Hallelujah, Pastor Ruth. Say amen. 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 Happy is the man that had his quiver what? Full of them. What are they going to do? They shall not be ashamed. It's not the children, no. It's talking about the man. The man shall not be ashamed if he does, if he is not poor. If he's poor, he shall be ashamed. If you don't have money and you have your quiver full of them, you shall be ashamed. Praise God. You know, is it David that wrote this psalm? It's not David. It's not David. He shall have his quiver what? Who has his quiver what? Full of them. They shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Are you hearing me? That is that there is trouble that cannot reach you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That there is what? There is trouble that cannot reach you. Because the responsibility of sons is to speak with the enemy at the gates. When somebody comes to knock your house, who goes to the gate to check? It's sons. Hallelujah. They will deal with the situation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't want to spend too much of time in dealing about the importance of having children. But I want you to hear me very well. It is the will of God for you to have children and to have children sufficiently. Don't have too many that you cannot cater for. But have it sufficiently according to the grace of God that you have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you have more than what your quiver, you know every man's quiver is different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, what did I say? Every man's quiver. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver, not your brother's quiver. Don't give birth to and send it to the quiver of your brother. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You go and have 7 children. Then you send one to your cousin, send one to your uncle, leave one with your mother. That is not the will of God. The Bible says, who has his own quiver. My quiver and your quiver, they are different, sir. Are you getting my point? Somebody's quiver can take 2 children. If that is what your quiver can take, blessed be God. Amen. Somebody's quiver can take 4. Somebody's quiver can take 7. Somebody's quiver can take 10. I hope it's not you, but if your quiver is taking 10, are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Tama, the way you are looking at me like I'm the one you are talking about, Pastor. Blessed is the man whose quiver is what? Full of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I don't want to go into some things today, but I wish I could go into some things. I could tell you some things today, but let's leave that. Are we getting that? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Now, when we talk about children, there are 2 types of children. Amen? There are 2 types of children. There are spiritual children. Hallelujah. There are spiritual children. And there are what? There are natural children. There are spiritual children and there are natural children. And if you are a serious believer, you should be able to have both. You should be able to birth both of them. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a pastor to be a spiritual father to somebody. If you are a serious believer, you will birth people. You will nurture people. You will disciple people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's not only pastors that are daddy spiritually or mommy spiritually. If you are not having, just like if you are not having children biologically, it means something is wrong. So also when you are not having children spiritually, it means something is wrong. Yes, it means something is wrong. Because you are designed to be fruitful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you're not having children spiritually, it means something is wrong with you spiritually. Something is wrong with your spiritual walk. You are spiritually barren. You are spiritually barren. And you birth children spiritually by 3 ways. There are 3 ways you birth children spiritually. You birth children spiritually by soul winning. Are you getting that? When you win a soul, you have birthed somebody. Is that okay? Into the kingdom of God. Paul wrote, he said, my little children, on whom I travel in birth until Christ be formed in you. He said, because I have begotten you by the gospel. Is that all right? So when you are a person who is involved in soul winning, you are giving birth spiritually. Some people have never, you have never preached to anybody in your life that the person received Jesus. In your life, you don't have one person, you don't have one soul. May you not go to heaven like that. I said, may you not go to heaven like that. You don't have one person in your life that you can say, I preached the gospel to this person. I went on evangelism. I preached the gospel to this person. All your revelation is inside church. You are only using revelation to harass people. But nobody is saved as a result of you preaching to that person. You have not gone. You know, there was a young man in this church that came for service, just left, you know. He came for service. In the time of his service, he did 3 crusades. He was in this church. He came for service, just left. In the 9 months or so that he was doing, he was here for service. He did 3 crusades. You are just harassing us with Rema in church. Souls are dying out there. You have won no soul for the Lord. You're going to see it. Every one of us is called to birth people spiritually. Every believer. When you stand before God, you should be able to say, these are the people. And some of you used to do it. You are now a retired. In the spirit, you can birth as many souls as you want to. In the natural, you can have a limitation. But in the spiritual, there is no limitation to having spiritual children. Some of you used to do it, but you are retired now. You have become elders. You have entered spiritual menopause. You have relaxed. Recently, I was blessed by somebody. Somebody encouraged me. And I got an idea from there on how to have souls. I have some target for souls this year. I've targeted for so because the Lord gave me an idea. I was watching something on YouTube and I was blessed. There was this man, he was like in his 70s or so. So he said that every week he wins a soul. Every week he wins a soul. So he gave the idea of how he does it. His house is a white man. His house is not far from one of these their superstores like ShopRite or something like that. So he says every morning his exercise, when he does his exercise, he walks to that store and comes back. That's the exercise he does. But what he does is that he uses the opportunity of getting to that store to minister to somebody. So when he walks down to the store, he sits down in the store and trusts God to bring somebody that he will preach to. So every day he's witnessing to somebody. Every day. Somebody in his 70s. Every day is witnessing to somebody. What are you doing? Patience, what are you doing? Every day you are marketing, you are having business, you are relating with people. So I got an idea of how to daily be able to have the opportunity to minister to somebody. You know, as a pastor, I have an advantage because I always preach. I can always make an altar call. I went somewhere to preach. I can't remember where recently. And sincerely speaking, it seemed to me that in that place, the way the program looked like, I didn't expect anybody would want to give his life to Christ. But I just felt led after I finished preaching to say, if there's anybody here who has not received Jesus, who want to. I was shocked. 3-4 people raised their hands. You know? We were doing membership class here. Membership class. And while I was teaching, I just said, if you know you're not born again, you want to receive Jesus, can you raise? 6 people raised their hand. So this year alone, I have led at least about 7 to 8 people to the Lord. I have an advantage. Why? I have the pulpit. But if you don't have the pulpit, does not mean that you will not minister Jesus. Many of us are spiritually barren. Nothing has come out of your spiritual womb. When last did you just go and preach to somebody to receive Jesus? When was that last time? And see, listen to me. I want you to get this. I'm supposed to teach on this a bit later, but let me tell you this. This is a very serious disease in today's church. It's a very serious problem in today's church. It's today's church that people will be born again. And they were never taught. Let me tell you this. The first thing you do after receiving Jesus is to share him with somebody. That is the order. That is the order. But it's amazing that people will get saved. They will sit in church. I don't know why we love this art of sitting in church. Today's believer, if he has tried as a believer, he's a member of a department. We love these four corners of the church. We don't want to do anything outside of the church. Even inside the church, we can't visit one another until they say we should visit. We can't go and see somebody unless you are a member of pastoral care. You don't visit anybody. You don't check on anybody. The only time we go to visit people is when they have naming ceremony or they have wedding. We can't even visit one another. Many of us, our fellowship ends within these walls and in the compound of the church. When last did you go and visit somebody? When last did you minister to somebody? When last did you take an opportunity to preach to somebody? And let me tell you the truth. Your real reward in heaven, beyond your giving and every other thing you are doing, your real reward in heaven is how many souls you have brought to the kingdom of God. The greatest ministry work is not this teaching and preaching we are doing, it's the winning of souls. Because sometimes we are teaching and preaching to people who don't change. Teaching and preaching to people who have made up their minds. There will be no transformation in their lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In fact, let me say this. That if people that are sitting in church took half of the truths that they have been listening to all their lives, do you know sometimes, and put it into practice, the church will be a different place. And the church will be a large mission field. Do you know that many times when pastors come to preach, we come to preach as if we are gambling. We are hoping and praying that what we are teaching will enter somebody's heart. Because these same people have been listening to us and listening to us and listening to us, and there has never been any remarkable change in their lives, sir. So the next time you are going to preach, you are not even sure whether this one that you are going to preach, how many people it will affect. We are supposed to have both natural and spiritual children. That's how God designed it. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about children whom the Lord gives. I and the children whom the Lord has given for me. Who has given me are for what? Are for signs and for wonders in Israel. There's a reason why God wants you to have children. Children are an extension of his intentions on the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You remember in the book of Malachi, he said that why God said I hate divorce. He said one of the reasons is because I want to have godly seed. Without children, listen to me, without godly children, the Bible says ye are the salt of the earth. Without godly children, are you hearing me? The salt of the earth is going to eventually finish. You know, I hope you know that we are the ones sustaining this earth. When the Bible says you are the salt of, we preserve the earth. When God said, listen to me, when God was speaking to Abraham, and Abraham said, if there are 10 people, will you destroy? Are you hearing me? If there are 10 who? Righteous people. Which means that it is righteous people that preserve a nation. It is right. Are you hearing me? Because righteousness does what? It exalts a nation. It is righteousness that preserves. The reason why God wants you to have children, are you hearing me? Is that those children, not just for not just to have children. Let me even qualify that. God doesn't want you to just have children. God wants you to have godly seed. That's what Malachi calls it. Godly seed. If you have children that you cannot nurture, you cannot raise, you cannot disciple, are you hearing me? That do not have the capacity to come and replenish the earth, multiply. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have done us damage. You have not helped us. So let me say this to you, that children is warfare. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Children is what? Warfare. Children is warfare. Praise God. So I've gone into something which I went ahead of myself. So I talked about having the fruit of the womb. And then I said there are two types of children. You have natural children, which is from the womb, your natural womb, and then spiritual children, which is from your spiritual womb. Amen. So the second point I want to talk about is, I want to just continue in that line, which is the fruit of righteousness. And when the Bible talks about the fruit of righteousness is what? Is evangelism. The fruit of righteousness, that is what comes out of the fruit of evangelism, is called the fruit of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. Proverbs 11, 30. Proverbs 11, 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is what? Is wise. He that winneth souls is what? Is wise. Matthew 28, 19. The Great Commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Praise God. Do you know that many challenges in the life of people is because they are not soul winners? We're not soul winners. Let me say this. You know, I've been talking about people saying there's no work. If you don't have anything doing, sacrifice 2-3 days of your week to win souls. That is kingdom service. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't have anything to do from morning till night. Go and win souls. That is work. By the time you preach to 3 people in a day, you would have gone very far. But you know what? People don't win souls. We are not soul winners. So many of the problems we have in life is because we are not soul winners. And we have no intention for soul winning. Listen to me. There is a way God backs up a man that is a soul winner. What I'm telling you, I'm not preaching to you. I am telling you what I have done. What I do in my life. I never miss an opportunity to win a soul. I never miss an opportunity to win a soul. I'm not preaching at you. I'm not preaching at you. Soul winning is the first and permanent responsibility of a believer after salvation. Is the first and permanent responsibility. That is that the moment you become saved, the first responsibility you have is to share your faith with another person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's the first responsibility you have? To share your faith. The Bible says you shall be my witnesses. Listen to me. God expects you to witness. Whether the person gets saved or not is God's business. But God expects you to what? To witness. God expects you to witness. That's why we don't have mission department in this church. We don't have missions department. Because and something that every believer is supposed to do, once you have a department for it, everybody leaves it for that department. Say, why, you know, is that, no, I'm not in the missions department. I'm not in the missions department. I am. One time we went for a program and I was looking for people to pray. So I saw one sister walking. I called. I said, ah, sister, please, I'm looking for some good sister. Give me any other work. Say, give me any other work. Some of you have removed yourself from the things that is supposed to be a blessing, supposed to be a part of your life. You have disqualified yourself. When was the last time you preached the gospel to somebody? I'm challenging you today. The Holy Ghost is challenging you. When was the last time you preached the gospel to somebody? And let me say this to you. These are the things that matter to God. And these are the things that draw mercy into some people's lives. Do you know every one of us today have had an opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody? All of us today, we have had an opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody. Today, you missed an opportunity to lead somebody to Christ. You did. There was somebody you met that needed Jesus. Today, as you are closing this service this evening, before you get to your house, there is somebody you are going to pass that needs Jesus. One of the things we are going to be doing this year is we are going to be going out for soul winning. This year. One of the things I will be doing this year, I will be passing to you forms so that when you come on Sunday, I will give you a form every Sunday. When you are coming next Sunday, come with the form of the person you led to Christ. And if you came with the person to church, I want to be able to have the opportunity to bless, to minister with the person, the soul you came with. I wish it would be your joy that every day you were coming to church, you came along with a soul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of us made that error. When you go to where you are going to, let it be a soul-winning church. They already have assignment for next week. Let it be a soul-winning church. So that all your members can live in Jerry over there. If not, when you are in heaven now, you'll be up going to Tufre Park to go and greet some of your members. That side of Tufre where there is no road. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Build it like that. Foundations are important. Build it like that. Seize every opportunity to tell someone of Jesus. Many times the reason why people don't win souls is one, because of their bad character. When people know you as a person with bad character, you can't preach to them. It's with them you used to do deals. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's with them you used to do all those things, all those negative things. So how do you preach to them? It's the reason why many Christians can't preach to anybody. You can't preach to anybody. They know that you are a runs girl. So what are you preaching? They know. What are you preaching? They know that you are the one that changed figure with them. What are you preaching? You can't preach. Even your conscience will not allow you to preach. When you start preaching, even if there's nobody that knows you there, you will not be able to preach. It's the number one reason. Bad character. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Bad character, lack of the fruit of repentance. You don't have anything to show that you have repented. So how do you talk to somebody about repentance? How do you talk to somebody about repentance? The number one reason, are you hearing what I'm saying? The number one reason is that people, listen, somehow, people have made up their mind. If they are not living right, if they preach to you, they will catch them. If they are planning not to live right, they will still not preach to you. Because in case, are you hearing what I'm saying? In case tomorrow they see that, are you not the one that? So that's the reason why majority of Christians don't win souls. And who are you supposed to lead to Christ? Is it not the people that God brings around you? And if what you and the people that are coming around, what you people are involved in doing is not straight, how do you preach? The only men that are around you are toasting you. Yes. There's nobody around you that is a man that you are doing, you are, whatever is happening between you is the glory of God. Nobody. There was a season, sir, that when you came around sisters, they will not chase you. But before they leave, before you live their life, you would have received the Lord. Today, when you come around sisters, they will not chase you, but you must take them to City Star. What they want from you is not a transformed life. What they want from you is the money that you are carrying in your pocket. The sisters of this generation are different. They are not concerned about how life is transformed. They are concerned about weak. They are concerned about, that's what is concerning them. Well, that's why a sister can marry an unbeliever. How did the unbeliever come into your life and remain an unbeliever? So who changed who now? Who won a soul?
Amen.
Number three, the fruit of our lips. The fruit. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's stomach, that word stomach there, refers to your life. Praise God. He's not talking about your belly, your physical belly. He's talking about your life. So you can change that word with your life. A man's life will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Which means that the way God actually decorates a man's life is what? Is by the thing the man says. A man's life will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. He will be satisfied with the consequence of his words. With the consequence of his words. With the consequence, let me tell you something. To a large extent, you are what you have been saying about your life. You are what you have been saying about your life. I'm going to talk about this, but another time. But you are a consequence of what you have been saying about yourself. So I have shared the story. I've shared the story of three of my cousins, two cousins and an auntie. The three of them met, you know. They were getting a bit older at that time. And they were happy, they were talking. And you know, they were talking, and it looks like, let me tell you this. In the Bible, there is no careless talk. As human beings, that's why when you read the Bible says, let there be no jestings and coarse talk. No coarse talk should come out of your mouth. Are you hearing me? You as a human being, you can say certain things. And you can say, ah, no, we are just joking. In the spirit, there's no joke in the spirit. The spirit has registered what you are saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the three of them, they were just talking, girl talk. And they said, there are no men, I beg. Any kind of man that come now, they will marry. My cousins, three of them. Two cousins, one auntie. So, you know, I'm going to show you somewhere in the book of Numbers where the Bible says that these 10 times I have heard what you said. You know, you can be saying something and you think that, I hope you know the Bible says that angels take note of what you say. That if you are speaking, angels take note of what you are saying. So God said, these 10 times have I heard what you have been saying. And God said, you know what God told Moses? He said, I've forgiven them all, but I have heard what they've said. So they said, any man. So you know what happened? Three of them married any man. As I'm talking to you today, two of the three, the men have left. One of the three, she's the husband and she's the wife. And she's everything in between. You know what? Somebody said, well, she said, she know, we are all widows. Some of us, by our culture, we are designed to talk negative. Culture. There are many things we talk about, we think it is humility. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We think it is humility. We talk negative. Most African culture has the things that come out of our mouth is not good. Some of the things we say, we consider it humility. Some of the things we say, we don't even know where we learn some of them. Let's look how it says. It says, he will be satisfied with the consequence of his words. Which means words have what? Consequences. Listen to me. I don't want to go too much into it today. But listen to me. Words, they are a law in the spirit. In fact, the most powerful thing in the spirit are the things you say. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, there are two very important laws in the spirit, or how things are done in the spirit. Let me say this. In the spirit, anything that is on earth is recognized by what it says in the spirit realm. What you say, you are recognized by what you say in the spirit realm. That means that there are a lot of things you will do. In the spirit realm, nobody takes. Are you getting my point? But when you speak in the spirit realm, are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So let's take, for example, you go to the market. I want to give you an example. You go to the market, John. It's just an example. You go to the market and they say you're selling this to someone. And that person is buying this. And the person has 100,000 in his pocket. And you say, this thing is 95,000. And the person say, how about make it 70,000 now? You say, no, 95,000 last. Then the person say, the last money on me is 90,000. What the person has done spiritually is that he has lost 10,000. No, you are not understanding me. At that point, but are you hearing me? He may count 95 and give you. But watch that person. In the next 7 days, something will happen. 10,000 lira must go out of his life. He thought that what he said was just a careless word. He thought that what he said was just a way of escape. No. You have sown. Are you hearing me? In the spirit, they heard you. They heard that all that you have is 90. And in the spirit, they know that you have 100,000. You must, as a result of what you have said, you have lost money. You thought it's bargaining, you are bargaining. I don't know whether you are hearing what I'm saying. That's why scripture will say to you, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. He said, anything else that you are saying beyond this is sin. So this is how many people have circumvented their lives. And they did not know. We say a lot of things. A lot of things. Sometimes to avoid a thing, you know, we say so many things and we don't know the effect of the words we are speaking. The Bible says that a man's life will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. You are negotiating something in the market. The person says, I don't have money. You keep confessing. You even say it like 10 times before the negotiation is over. You have said it. Dad, you don't have money. You don't have money. This is the last money. There are some angels that are recording. She doesn't have money. Sir, she doesn't have money. She doesn't have money, sir. They say, what? She said it 17 times this morning that she doesn't have money. And then she goes and is praying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She goes and she's praying, Lord, I receive. God said, what are you receiving? You don't have money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why me, as a rule, I don't know how to haggle. You know this one that you go to market, you are trying to buy something, you'll be doing long bargain. I don't know how to do it. When you get there, most of the time, it's psychology we use on people. I don't know how to do it. When I go. And I won't tell you I don't have. I can tell you that what I will give you for this, that is that, as far as I'm concerned, in my estimation, the worth of this is so-so. But I can't tell you that I don't have. So what I'm trying to tell you, that pity me, and I'm lying. And so you pity me on a lie. Ahaba. Even God will not do you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many people say it. Sometimes they say it to get pity. So that somebody can pity you. Now, you have gotten pity, but you have lost more than what you would have got, what would have been taken out of you. Numbers 14, verse 20. Numbers 14, verse 20. The Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. Yes, next verse. Next verse. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Next verse. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. You'll be saying things. They are recording it. Listen to me. You can be afraid of something. Don't speak your fear. Your fear is not reality. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I say, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Your fear is not reality. You go to the hospital. They say, they found something in your body. You know, this thing kills people. Don't go around telling people you are going to die. Even if the doctor said you are going to die, this is your response. The doctor said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's his report. It's not the Lord's report. The only thing you are permitted to repeat is what the Lord has said. Your mouth has... Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 23. Very, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Please look at this verse. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have what? Is it whatsoever he prayed or whatsoever he said? So listen to me. No matter what you are praying, if what you are saying is different from what you are praying, what you are going to get is what you are saying and not necessarily what you are praying. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? It is your confession that will come into your life, not necessarily your prayer. He shall have whatsoever he what? Whatsoever he saith. Amen. Matthew 12, 36. Matthew 12, 36. And listen to me. Things have ears, so things, but the Bible says, whatsoever shall say to this mountain, which means the mountain can hear you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your body can hear you. Your leg can hear you. Your womb can hear you. Things have ears. The earth can hear you. But I say unto you, Matthew 12, it's not verse 6 I said. Matthew 12, 36. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. That is that you will explain to God why you said the things you said. Amen. Is anybody receiving God's word this morning? Hebrews 11 verse 3. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. How? By the word of God. God is showing you a secret. He's not saying he's the only one that does it. He's just saying to you, this is how I did it, so that you too can begin to do it. In other words, you can frame your own world by your own words. Is anybody understanding that? He's not giving you information on what God has done. It is giving you a sample of what you also can do. Let me tell you something. About 3-4 years ago, I began to confess. Let me tell you. Because let me show you something. I'm not a very... I'm a plant, psychologically, if you understand the language. I'm a plant. That is that in psychology, there are people they call plants. That's that. Those people... A plant doesn't move, but it has impact. So psychologically, that is a psychology. I'm the kind of people they call plant. That is that. I'm not a mobile person. I'm a thinker. I'm a strategist. Are you understanding that? I'm a thinker. So when they say somebody is a plant, it means the person can bring ideas. He organizes his mind at mind level. Is that okay? He's a strategist at mind level. But physically, he may not be somebody who is. But so I've always known. I've never been an athlete. I didn't play football. I don't know football up to date. I don't even know which one is Champions League, which one is La Liga, which one is. I just hear the name. I don't know which is which. I don't have a club. I'm not a soccer person. Anything, the only time I watch football is if Nigeria is playing. And if Nigeria is playing, there has to be something I don't have anything to do. Like one night, I was really hungry. I came to the sitting room and they left the TV on, or is that they took light and the TV came on, and I noticed Nigeria was playing. And sleep has left me, so I sat down there. That's the way, that's if you ever see me watching. So, I've never been an athlete. I've never done all this one they do in school. You belong. I've never played anything in my life. But some years back, the doctor started telling me you need to do exercise. And naturally, I will not do exercise. Naturally. I'm not the kind of person to say I wake up in the morning, I take a walk. No. I wake up in the morning to pray. I don't wake up in the morning for exercise. But listen to me, and I'm telling you the gospel truth. I began to confess that God has this. I have a routine. I can't show you my confessions. I'm talking about I started confessing like 3 years ago. I now do exercise. God has raised the right people in my life. I went into, many of you know I do exercise because some of you say you see me. Do you know now the thing has taken over my life? If I don't, I can't spend 2 days without doing an exercise of between 30 to 45 minutes in that day. That includes when I'm fasting. And listen to me, my body heard it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you how, even in what you will consider very mundane, if you stand in the place of confession. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you are looking at me as if, what's this guy saying? I am telling you how exercise came into my life. It was by confessing it. Somebody's wondering, are you not supposed to be coming into some spiritual things? No. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even the mundane things, You come into it by confessing it. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I started confessing exercise before I started exercise. Are you hearing me? To you, it may not be a serious thing. To me, it was a serious thing. I started confessing it before I started doing it. Then it took over my life. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So that the things which do appear. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I can begin to count for you testimonies. I can begin to tell you testimony upon testimony upon testimony till tomorrow morning that were products of confession in my life. That are products of confession in my life. Let me tell you, from time to time, as a matter of responsibility, I speak about what government does that they should not do. Once in a while. But listen to me. I have said it. Part of the reason why I don't confess negative, are you hearing me? Is that every government must favor me. It may disfavor other people, but me. How many of you remember when this government came into power? When everybody was saying, yeah, they are good, this one. We came here and I said to you, this one will favor us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? So when men are saying there is a casting down, what should you be saying? When the Bible says we shall be saying, it's not prophetical. It is what you should be saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, listen, if tomorrow they start selling one ball of tomato for 1,000 naira, you will still buy. I pray God will do something. I'm going to teach on this, but I pray God will do something on your mind so that you can grasp the power of what you say. Who told you you're going to marry a bad husband? You're already adjusting your heart that the man you... See, sit down. Listen to me. See, you can change. My pastor said something. He said when he started understanding the power of confession, he was a born-again Christian, but he was smoking. In fact, he said he was a born-again Christian. He would go and organize party. Born-again Christian. He would go and organize party all night. He had one party that only alcohol, no water, no any of that. You can't drink anything. All night, a believer, he would organize party. He was smoking. And he was walking with the cigarette. He will draw it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said that one day he woke up and he suddenly didn't have the desire for cigarette. I hope you know that cigarette is an addiction. So he was already smoking before he became. Are you hearing me? So even when he became a believer, he was still doing it. He would puff. He said, this is what he said. He said, I puffed. And I said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your words have the power to break any habit in your life if you will stay at the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are trusting God for husband, don't go to the mirror and say, oh me, I'm not even fine. Who will marry something like this? No, dear, you are getting it wrong. stand by the mirror and say, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Look at what a countenance. See, listen to me. You're not understanding it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wanted to say something. They say, the owner of this, come and come. Listen to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, let me tell you something. I will teach on confession. Listen, I'll teach on confession. Let me tell you. Speak your confession in past tense. I rejoice at how God brought a husband into my life. Don't say it either is going to happen. When you are saying it's going to happen, it will keep going to happen. Say it as though it has happened. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, I have seen confessions happen with exactitude. You hear what I said? Exactitude. And if you ever get to a point where you feel you have confessed enough, just be giving thanks for what you have confessed. When the Bible says, pray always, that's the secret. When the Bible says, pray always, means keep saying the same confession. The thing you have raised up in the place of prayer becomes your daily confession. So every time the thought of that thing comes to your heart, are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't go back to saying, Toyazamians. You have already spoken to the Lord concerning it. Is that okay? You stand in that confession. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If something that looks like, let me tell you this. Let me not tell you, because if I tell you now, I don't have time to explain and you will go and do the wrong thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stay confessing the word. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness filled the face of the deep. And then what did God do? So it doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter how bad things are. Are you hearing me? And let me tell you why you must speak right. Three reasons. Every time you speak, you make a right confession. Are you hearing me? Because every time you make a right confession, one, the first thing the right confession does is that it begins to work on you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It begins to work on you. Just like, why the commercials, you know the secret behind these advertisements they make? They make it and do it and do it and do it. Do you know the secret? That is how they change your mind. It enters into your subconscious. Are you hearing me? And something that you have never thought of before, one day you will just wake up and just want to do that thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the first thing is that, confession begins to work on your subconscious. So, at the subconscious level, are you hearing me? Your confessions begin to work on your appetite. Are you getting me? Begins to work on your direction. Begins to work on something. It makes adjustment on the inside of you. Are you hearing me? Then confession acts as a prophecy. Every time you are speaking it, you are speaking the reality of that thing into your future. You're coming to work into your future about the things that you have confessed. Hallelujah. So, you keep... Are you hearing what I'm saying? You keep doing it until it becomes a reality in you. So God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form. It was chaotic. That's how the Message translation put it. And darkness filled the face of the deep. And God started crying. Was that what happened? What did God do? And God what? And God said. Now let me ask you a question. How many times did God say in that chapter 1? Did God speak once, Did God speak once and it didn't work? God went. And God said, and God said, and God said. God said so much that he needed rest after he said. God kept saying. He kept speaking. Do you know, sir, that he will speak, and when the thing happens, he will go back and look at how the thing was. Then he will speak to every imperfection and say it was good. So if it was not good enough by that time, when he saw it, he said it was good. And it had to be good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? James chapter 3. James chapter 3 verse 1. Let me show something. Then we take last to close. James chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Yes? For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So how do you measure a man who is perfect? Capacity speaking. And able also to what? To bridle the whole body. That is that if a man can talk well, he has the power to control everything around him. Next verse. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may what? Obey us. And we turn about what? Their whole body. God is showing you a principle here. Is anybody seeing this principle? That if God can control your mouth, he can, your life can be organized. We put bits in horses' mouth so that we do what? So that we turn what? Their whole body. Next verse. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of what? Fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder. Whosoever the governor listed, that's the captain listed, whichever way he wants. Yes. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. What the Bible is trying to tell you is that if you can take control of how you speak, you will take control of your life. If you can take control of what comes out of your mouth, if you can take control of your tongue, you can take control of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number 6, the fruit of the mind. Jeremiah 6:19. Listen to me. Your mind is blessed. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of love, of power, and what? Of what? Of a sound mind. But of love, of power, and what? Of a sound mind. Put your hand on your head, say, my mind is blessed. You know, have you met people whose mind is upside down before? Have you met people who have a crooked mind? Have you talked to somebody left and the person is reading right? Have you met people like that? Have you met people that you are talking left? What they are getting is right. Listen to me. One of the greatest things we must trust God is to have a healthy mind. A healthy, well-cultivated mind. Is there this? Listen to me. Is the reason why people will pick a book and read, I don't understand what they are saying. I don't understand what they are saying. They can see things with their eye. So Jesus said, blessed are you because you have eyes and can see. He said, you can understand. Not everybody's mind is fully developed, and not everybody's mind is healthy. One of the greatest things God can do for you is to give you a mind that has capacity to understand. If you read my book, I wrote, I say, understanding. Do you know one of the most difficult things in life is to talk to people who don't understand. Have you met people who don't understand? No, you haven't. A person who doesn't understand, a person who doesn't have a healthy mind will make you think something is wrong with you. Have you met people who you talk to them, when you finish talking to them, you begin to ask yourself whether you are all right? But you know you are all right too. It's just that the way they respond, they have made you begin to doubt yourself. See, may God give you a healthy mind. Do you know that many people, when you don't have a healthy mind, let me tell you something where I have seen it. I have seen that people who don't have a healthy mind cannot even define things. So they can see abuse, they will call it love. And they can see love and think it is abuse. Because are you understanding what I'm saying? They can see love and call it abuse. No, some of you, is because you have your mind is working. That's why you don't understand. People that their mind is not healthy, they can see love and they will call it abuse. Because their mind is not developed enough. Are you hearing me? Recently, something happened. I was taking a walk, and I saw this young brother who comes to church. And I had not seen him in church for a while. So it was myself and you. Was it you? No, it was Emmanuel. Don't tell anybody who the person is. So, you know, I met the brother on the way. I was taking a walk. I asked you to come with me. So I took the brother. I even took him off where he was going to. I walked with him almost a kilometer away from where he was going to. And he was going somewhere. He was already dressed up and going somewhere. I took him off. And when I met him, I rebuked him for almost that 1 kilometer. Rebuke in the presence of Emmanuel. For almost that 1 kilometer, I was correcting him on something. When I finished correcting him on it, I was just correcting him on something. When I finished correcting him, he said, "Thank you very much." You know, remember, he was thanking me. He was thanking me. When he left, I thought he was angry and has left. In fact, I thought he had left church because I've not seen him after a week or so. I've not even seen him in church. So I thought he had left church. Then I saw him in church. In fact, somebody told me, "Say, oh, guy was in church. No, the guy was doing that. I met with the guy somewhere, and the guy said to me, "Sir, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak to me the way you spoke to me." Listen to me. There are people that they don't know love when they see it. They don't know love when they see it. To have a healthy mind, are you hearing me? To have a well-cultivated mind, a mind that is, are you getting what I'm saying? Because there are people that every time you correct them, anytime you speak anything around them, the Bible says, "Let a friend strike me." He said, "It will be like oil upon me." Why? Because you have the mind to differentiate. Are you getting my mind? What I'm saying? You have the capacity. Listen to me. And I'm going to show you something. It's a capacity. And you will not know until the day they are looking for people to look into a critical matter. Then you will understand that your the healthy mind God gave you is a treasure. Listen to me. They said something. I was reading something. They said, you know, when you go to all these big companies, all the Forbes 500, you know, companies, all these companies that they will tell you that maybe the annual salary of the boss is about, they'll say, $300 million. This one, and they are not doing anything. So they said, at that level, they don't need what you do. That they are paying you to think. So when they say, this person has a driver, this person has a jet, this person has a this, the company is providing this. At that level, sir, they pay you to be able to think accurately on behalf of the organization. So the higher you go, your value is in your mental capacity, mental ability. That you know the children of Israel told David, we went to war one day, and they said, "See, don't, you will not come to war with us again." They said, "Listen, light of Israel, they said, you sit down. Just tell us what we need to do. We will go and do it. But you will not come to war with us again." Listen to me. May God give you a healthy mind. May God, are you hearing what I'm saying? See, let me tell you, when you have a healthy mind, there is a rebuke that you will be joy, you will joyfully receive it. There is a correction that you will be happy that you were corrected. In fact, are you hearing what I'm saying? Joseph didn't have any other ability. They said to him, "Okay, what's the dream?" He told the dream. He said, "What shall we do?" He said, "King, what you should do is that the 7 years that there's going to be much, find a way to store it. This, so that in the 7 years of this thing, you'll be able to feed it." The king said, "Wow." He said, "Okay, who else will be able to do it apart from you?" Are you hearing what I'm saying? What were they using? They were using his mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and what? Of a sound mind. One of the things I started praying very early in my life, God, they told Solomon, they said, what do you want? He said, "God, I don't want anything. The only thing I want, give me a large heart. Give me a heart of understanding." Let me be able to understand complicated things. You know, there are people who are sophisticated in the way they think. You know, there are people who are primary thinkers. There are people who are secondary thinkers. Isaiah 57 verse 18. Sorry. Jeremiah 6, sorry, verse 9. "Hear, O earth, thus said the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly..." Jeremiah 6, 19. "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of what? Even the fruit of what? Their thoughts." Even so, which means your mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, let me tell you something. You cannot, the reason why the law, when we're going to talk about words, the reason why you must speak right is sometimes to help you correct wrong thinking. Because there's a law of thought, there's a lot of law of words, and the law of action. The law of words is greater than law of action. So it is thought, words, action. If you think wrong, you will speak wrong. When you speak wrong, you will act wrongly. Have you seen people who believe people are their enemies? Have you had those people who just believe they have enemies? You've never met people like that. Who just have this? You have now. Do you have a neighbor that you never know when they travel? Have you ever had a neighbor like that? You never know when they travel. Because in their mind, they have enemies. You know those people, they don't believe in Jesus. They've only heard of him. In their mind, they have a suspicious mind. Suspicious mind. Everything about them is suspicious. They are suspecting. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are suspecting everything around them. It begins from the mind. It's the mind. It's the mind. When somebody is not a giver, it's not something that happens. It happens in the mind, though. The person is afraid of loss. He thinks that if he gives, he will lose. So he holds. Every final action you're seeing is a product of a thought. Are you hearing me? A process of thinking cultivated that lifestyle. Amen. Finally, thank you for your patience. The fruit of good works. The fruit of good works. How many of you heard of Ahithophel in the Bible? Do you know that the father-in-law of Moses was not a believer, was not a Jew. He didn't serve the God of Israel. He said, I will give you counsel. See, may you have people who can think well around you. He said, I will give you counsel. The Bible says the counsel of Ahithophel was as though God was with you. As if God spoke. It's just somebody whose mind was well developed. That's why you should read. Ask your neighbor, when last did you read a book? Do you know some of you are so outdated? You are still in 1985, 1984. See, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained before. What are we created for? What? Good works. I wish I had time this evening. Good works. Hebrews 13:16. Good works. Good works. Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. To do good. Are you somebody who is given to doing good to people? To doing good to people. Are you somebody who is given to doing good to people? During this birthday celebration, about 3 people decided to cook food for me. You know what that means? They took time. Their own was, when somebody does that, he's not giving you a gift. He has decided to do you good. I like the money part. But I'm just saying that some people, are you hearing me? Decided that whatever it was, we will take. Are you hearing me? Is okay, let me not say something before somebody say, okay, I didn't know. Next year, we are going to. But what I'm saying is that it is, there is something about, are you getting my point? There's something about somebody who says, let me take time and do something like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, listen to me. I want you to hear something. It's very important to learn the art of doing good to people. It's very important. It's very, very important. Don't just be around. Be a good person. And you are a good person by doing good for people. It may be time, it may be energy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It may be effort that you are putting. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to what? To maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know, I spoke to you some time back. I said, if you are doing all this NGO and all of these things, I said, you are a blessing to who? To humanity. The Bible says these things are what? Are good and what? Profitable unto who? Unto men. Learn to be a good person. Whether in effort, in energy, are you getting me? In your giving, in the things you say about people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be a good person. Learn good works. Good works includes even the things you say about people. The Bible says, say evil of no man. When people come around, they are gossiping, talking evil about people. You, the Bible says what? Say evil of what? No man. Say evil of no man. Praise God. Galatians 6:9. Where are we reading now? Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in what? In what? Well doing. Or doing well. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do good. Withhold not good from them to whom what? It is due, when it is in thine hand or in thy power, you know, to do it. Don't refuse to do good when you can do it. You know, we have some demonic mindsets. It's part of the way we show that we are powerful is to refuse to do something that we know we have the power to do. So that people can come and be begging you. So that people can come and be asking you to do it. It's just demonic. Withhold not when it is in your power to do it. Once you can do something, the Bible says, don't hold back. Do it. Don't wait for somebody to beg you. Don't wait for somebody to ask you to do it. Once you can do it, it's in your power, and it is due for that thing to be done. Do it. You're going home. Your car is empty. People are trekking. It is in your power. Hallelujah. It is in your power. You can pick somebody and drop the person. Doesn't take anything from you. Hallelujah. Once it is in thy power to do good to somebody. Live your life with the desire to do good. And can I add something on that? And don't expect return. When you do people good, walk away from it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you do people good, what do? Walk away. The Bible says, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Shall who? Men bring to your bosom. Did he say the person that you did good to is the person that will bring it to your bosom? No. When you are waiting for the person you did good to bring it, to do it to you, you are doing adashi. Do it and walk away and leave God to bless the person. Amen. Have we received that word this evening? God bless you and God bless your patience.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.